years then than it is more. And I was sitting there, I remembered, you know, I just got through preaching in Israel. I'm on the radio every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock over there. I just got through preaching their time. And I was thinking about one of my visits over to Israel. And I was invited to come down for a live interview on the radio. And I said, okay, I can do that. So we went down, I forget what time it was, but had a live interview. And of course, the radio manager and also the fellow that even owned the radio station was asking me some questions. And I tried to ask them the best of my ability. But I remember one that he asked me, real clear, it's real clear in my mind. And he said, Brother Jack, or he called me Dr. Meeks. Dr. Meeks said, he said, in your point of view, said, which country in the world needs the Lord the worst? And I said, the United States of America.
Right.
And that was several years ago, and even needs worse now than it did then. But of course, I come back and said, you know, that every country I go in needs the Lord.
Amen.
All of them needs the Lord. And we
right.
thank the Lord that we'll be able to share the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But our country is in bad shape and it'll soon be flooded with missionaries coming to America. In fact, I've already met several from the Philippines that has come over to America as missionaries, and I greet them, brother. I said, amen, win as many as you can for the glory of God, amen. And that's what it's all about. You'd ask the average church member today, what is the purpose of the church? They don't have the foggiest idea, not the foggiest idea what the real purpose of the church is. And the most important thing about anything is its purpose. And the purpose of the church is to win people to Jesus.
Amen.
That's the purpose. And to teach them the Word of God. That's what the church is all about. But most churches this day and time, especially in our country, has gone in so many different ways. They don't even have visitation anymore. They don't even have soul winning anymore. They don't have altar calls anymore or nothing. They don't even know what the purpose of the church is. But I'm glad y'all still know what the purpose of the church is, and we thank God for that. Amen. And I'm here this morning as a representative, as an ambassador, not only for the Lord, but for this church right here. Now, what I'm going to say this morning, I want you to try real hard, but I want you to put your minds, this is on the top shelf this morning, because I want you to understand what I'm going to say to you this morning. I want you to understand. Now, the Bible has told us very plainly, to go ye therefore into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. Would you all agree that's the great commission? Would you also agree that's the only commission that the church has? That is it. That's what it's all about, is winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, it tells us several times to do that. And the vision needs to go further than Asheville, Alabama. And that's good to have a vision for Asheville, Alabama. And Asheville, Alabama needs to be gloriously born into the family of God. Some of the people have told me, said, well, when I win everybody in my city to the Lord, then I'm going to think about going somewhere else. You know, well, it's not working that way. Anyway, the Lord is supposed to be simultaneously. Win them here. And, of course, if you win everybody in Asheville, good night, brother. I'll give you a hand on that. But you get as many born into the family of God as you possibly can. And when I go to churches every week, and they would like to have a report, you know, of what the Brother Jack's doing. Well, this morning, I'm going to give you a report But it's not going to be my report. It's going to be your report. What I'm going to say this morning, listen, is your report. I'm going to give y'all's report of what y'all are doing for the Lord. Just what I'm doing, brother, is the same thing y'all are doing for the Lord. And let me read you something I think it's Romans. Now, y'all just carry along. I'm going blind. I got what they call dry eye. And it's very strange when you got dry eye, it cuts on the wet part of your eye, and the wet part of your eye starts running, so you really got wet eye. Now, which is blurry. It's strange. They did everything in the last 4 years to try to correct it, and it's just getting worse. So if I miss a word or two, you just add it in if you follow along in the Bible. And in my Bible, I've got so much of my stuff written in there too. So if you heard me read some of my mess that I got in there, just forget it that you just read what the King James says, okay? But in 10:9, it says that if thou shalt confess with the mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. That's our message, buddy. We'd be telling the world. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. I want you to notice those words all in there now. This is just not for the Jews, all the Gentiles. It's for everybody. Everybody that's born on this earth, black, white, red, yellow, Jew, Gentile, Russian, Indian, Filipino, Japanese, whatever. Brother, God is for all, is to save all of for the whole world. It's for everybody. Now, I used to really get on that hyper-Calvinist bunch, but you know, they're half right. By that election mess, you know, you're the half right, you know about that, don't you? Well, I'm fixing to tell you anyway. The half right. and the half wrong as well. They just believe there's a certain group that's elected to get into the kingdom of God. And now, if you believe the Bible, you're going to believe everybody's been elected, buddy.
Amen.
Everybody has been elected, brother. God is that there's a... As the book of Peter said, you know, they come to Peter and they said, Peter, you always saying the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming, the Lord's coming. Where is he at? Well, where is he at? How come he's not here? You've been saying that for years and centuries. He's coming. Where is he at? Where is he at? And if you read on down to verse 9 there in chapter 4 of 2 Peter, he says that God is interested in all. Not anybody perishing, but that all, A-L-L, that all should come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. That any should perish. So it's all of us. Everybody's elected now. Now, you know, if you're elected, you can say no. Y'all can elect Brother Gerald to be y'all's pastor. Do you know that? Voted him in 100%. But he can tell y'all to go jump in the lake. He can walk over and do what he wants to do. Huh? That night that young lady asked me, would I like to be saved? You know, I could have told her no.
That's right.
But thank God I told her yes.
Whew,
and got in on the greatest thing that ever happened. Well, what I'd like to do, well, let me read on down here. And that also says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I think it's verse 14, and how then shall they call on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they believe on him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Now look at verse 15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? Now what I want you to see this morning, hey, the sender is just as important as the goer. I'm going to give y'all's report this morning of what this missionary is doing. I'm just working for you guys like I'm working for the Lord. What I'm going to say to you this morning in the report, it's y'all's report. Don't think that the only thing that you are doing is what you're doing right here in Asheville, Alabama. Every missionary that you support, you have to get an account from him every week of what he's done and add it to your account to know what y'all are doing for the Lord. So I'm going to give y'all's report. This is what you're doing for God. Now, through this missionary up here that you've been supporting for so long, well, first of all, this missionary up here that y'all been supporting, have been praying for, I have started 3 churches in the United States. I started one in Texas, I started one in Alabama, and I started one in Virginia, and all 3 of them are still doing good and still winning people to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Brother, and still building buildings and so forth, and all of them are doing good. And then I went to Mexico, and we was down there for 2 or 3 years and helped my brother-in-law, which is the greatest of missionary and preacher that brother that I've ever met. I've learned more from Brother Billy Bridges in serving the Lord. This guy could go to a church, and he changed churches every 2 years. He'd go to a church that's running 10 people, and within 2 years, it's running 300. They asked him, "What is the secret, Brother Billy? What is the secret?" He said, "The secret is I pray and I visit."
Amen.
He didn't depend on church swapping. We believe in church swapping today, just getting members from other churches to come over, you know, and just swap back and forth. Brother, he prayed, and I'm telling you, when that old guy prayed, son, you could feel the presence of the Lord. I've been in some prayer meetings with him in the church. I've been in some prayer meetings with him out in the woods, and brother, and I've seen him shake bushes and talk to God and shout. And brother, when you come out of that field, when you come out of that wood, son, you're walking on air. Woo! And he visited and knocked on doors and told people about Jesus. Where's that gone to, huh? Where's the visitation gone to? Maybe y'all still have it. I don't know. But most churches didn't forget about that. Just winning people to Jesus. There ain't nothing more exciting than to have a new born Christian in your church, brother. Brother so eager and brother wanting to serve God so bad, wanting to do everything God says to do. And pastor, tell me what to do. Tell me what God wants me to do. And brother, he's just on fire, or she's on fire. And brother, if you have a whole church full of them, whoa, hallelujah. Hey, this is what y'all are doing for the Lord. This is not what Brother Jack's doing for God. So we started a few churches, help Brother Billy. And then we still go to Mexico and carry that food every year that y'all have helped us with for so many years now. And we still do that. Only we've changed a little bit. We don't pick up the food and the groceries and the beans and rice at the churches no more. It got impossible to get across the border with all that stuff. So now when the churches give us an offering, we go across the border with an empty bus, buy the beans and rice and stuff over in Mexico and fill the bus up without any problems of crossing the border and make the deliveries. Thank you very much. That's what you're doing for the Lord. I cannot do what I do for God unless I have churches like this praying and giving. I cannot do it. And then Brother Billy come to me one day, said, "Brother Jack," said, "we're only reaching Mexico. There's other people in the world that's lost that needs Jesus." I said, "What's on your mind, Brother Billy?" He said, "We're going to start a radio ministry." I said, "Well, glory to God, that's good. Brother, I can't think of a better person to preach on the radio than you, Brother Billy." And Brother Billy said, "It ain't me, it's you." I said, "Wait a minute here. Wait a minute, me?" I said, "I ain't no radio preacher. That was at least 45 years ago. And look up here. I still ain't no radio preacher." Some people like that radio preaching, buddy. They really enjoy it. I don't. I like to look at you guys when I preach to you. I like to hear an amen.
Amen.
By the way, Emily, I hadn't heard you give me an amen. Thank you, baby. Thank you, sweetheart. That's my amen, granddaughter. That girl made me great. I was grand for a long time. That girl made me great. Amen. You heard about the rich and the famous? I'm just the famous. I am just the famous. And then I said, now, Brother Billy, I said, no. I said, this is ready. He said, no, it's you, Brother Jack. You're going to do it. I said, okay. Well, I had a church that would help me and put together a real professional program. And the announcer was professional. And we give a free correspondence course to anybody that writes in. So I got it put together, and Brother Rodney Rice, he's still my announcer and tells about my correspondence school on the broadcast. He still does that. And we started preaching on an island in the West Indies, St. Kitts. And we was on there for about 6 months. Boy, I ain't heard from nobody. I said, I knew this radio mess wasn't going to work when I started into this stuff here. But after about 6 months, I got a letter that wanted to enroll in our correspondence school. I got gloriously saved and wanted to continue with their study of the Lord, and which was my first student. I said, oh, man, somebody's listening out there. Glory to God. Then it wasn't long after that, we had over 10,000 students from the islands of the West Indies. And then one station led to another and another and another. And at one time, we was on 140 stations. Thank God for a miracle fellow up in Rochester, New York, that got that thing worked out for me. And our potential radio listing audience was almost 3 billion people. Hey, 3 billion people are listening, our potential radio list. So I figured out that at least out of 3 billion, there's millions and millions and millions that's getting a chance to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And guess what? That's what you guys are doing for the Lord. That's not what Brother Jack's doing. That's what you're doing. I cannot do what I do unless I got churches that will give and support, brother. I cannot do it. This is your report this morning. Did you know that you are allowing millions and millions of people to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? One of the things that sold me on radio is somebody told me that over half of the world could not read and could not write, but they can hear. And faith cometh by what?
Hearing.
Hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hey, did y'all know y'all are helping over millions of people to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? And if the letters that comes in of people that's been saved over the 45 years, did you know that thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands has been gloriously born into the family of God? And guess what? That's your report. That's what you're doing. That's what the Lighthouse Baptist Church is doing. It's not what Brother Jack's doing. It's what you guys are doing for the Lord. Just don't think you're doing what you're just doing here in Asheville. No, thousands and thousands has come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then over there, the Lord has let me go around the world 2 times. I mean, I preached in so many different countries around the world, and God has allowed us to start missions in so many places. He's allowed us to start a military ministry in the Philippines after talking to Brother June, which is a national pastor in the Philippines. I used to go there every year. And he said, Brother Jack, my heart's in reaching the military for Jesus in the Philippines. Pray with me about it. And I need some gas money to get to these bases and everything. I said, Brother, you have got it, brother. You have got the gas money. We're going to help you to get off that old raggedy motorcycle you own and get you an old raggedy looking Jeep. You can drive around in. And brother, every time I get a report from Brother June that he has held a crusade on one of the bases in the in the Philippines, at least 50 to 100 people, 100 soldiers, is being born into the family of God. Amen. Guess what? That's y'all's report. That's what y'all are doing for God.
Amen.
Y'all are winning those people to Jesus. Y'all are winning them soldiers to the Lord. It's not Brother Jack. It's you guys. I can't do what I do unless there's people like you guys praying for me and giving. I cannot do it.
Amen.
Whew. I remember preaching into the Soviet Union for 8 years by shortwave. Back in the day, that's the only way you could get in there, and they blocked a lot of the shortwave stations. But somehow, by the grace of God, the one I got on, they couldn't find it, and they couldn't block it. And I went into the Soviet Union every Saturday night at 11:30 at nighttime. And some college student that learned how to speak English tuned it in one night and got gloriously born into the family of God. Whew. And here's the miracles of that. Back in those days, you didn't get a letter from Russia, buddy. You didn't get one out, and you couldn't get one in. But somehow, by the grace of God and the miracle of God, I got a letter from this college student. His name was Sergei, and told me that he had listened to the radio and got born into the family of God. And he went back to the college that he was attending and started witnessing and telling people about Christ. And they kicked him out of college. They kicked him out of the state that he was living in. And he said, "Brother Jack," in this letter, said, "I've won about 15, 20 of these young college students to the Lord. And we're meeting in sort of an underground situation." He said, "The only thing that I give them from the Word of God is what you give me on Saturday nights at 11:30 on your broadcast." He said, "Whatever you give me, I give them." I said, "Boy, they ain't getting much. Whew, that's all they're getting." He said, "We need some Bibles. I need a commentary. We need some gospel tracts. Could you get us some? Could you send us some? Could you bring us some?" Boy, back in that day, that you didn't even entertain that question. You didn't even entertain in your mind that thought. That was completely out altogether. But stupid Brother Jack has got enough sense to believe God can do anything he wants to do. Amen?
Amen.
So me and God got together and said, "Now, God, you figure this thing out." I got a hold of Jack Parker. I said, "Parker," I said, "we're going to Russia. We're going to carry some Bibles into Russia." So Jack Parker got together and finally found the Bibles in the Russian language, found some commentaries, which was very difficult in those days, and in the Russian language. And brother, as I probably told you before, you're looking at the greatest Bible smuggler in the world. We just got them things together. And we wrote him a letter back and told him we were coming. We told him what hotel we was going to be in. And you got to understand this is another miracle. We got one letter out, him requesting this. And we sent him one letter back in, told him we was coming, what city we was going to be in, and what hotel that we was going to be at with the Bibles. And we never got another word from him. We didn't know whether he got the letter, whether the letter was lost, tore up in the mail, or whatever. We didn't have any idea what was going to take place, but we got the Bibles together. We got on the airplane. The airplane landed in Moscow, unloaded those cases of Bibles, put them on a little cart, and pushed them right up to the customs and give him my passport, just like I was supposed to do it. Boy, is that smuggling? That's smuggling. And I read all them books and testimonies on God's smugglers and smuggling those Bibles in underground and all the way they had to get them in there and everything. Here I am walking right through the Moscow airport. Whoa! He said, "Go ahead." We just walked right in. And as we were standing there in the middle of the Moscow airport, you know them Russians, they look just like we do. And Brother Jack and Jack Jr. was my interpreter that we carried with us. And back in those days, you didn't just fly in. Somebody had to pick you up at the airport. You had a certain hotel you had to stay in. They even locked the front door. And so we was waiting for this group to pick us up. And all at once, these people walked right up to us and said, "Y'all are the Americans, aren't you?" We said, yeah, we're the Americans. I was trying to figure out, we all look alike. You know, how did you know we were the Americans? So we got in the car. They put us in the car and everything. And on the way to the hotel, I asked them, I said, how did y'all know we was Americans? She said, y'all were smiling. Yeah. Now, how about that? She said, y'all was a smiling. I said, well, don't y'all smile? They said, well, we ain't got nothing to smile about. That's what they told us. We ain't got nothing to smile about. And we was recognized because we were smiling. Whoa, get a smile on your face, boy. Praise God. It won't hurt you. May do you some good. So I get up and shout a little bit. And say, well, what do you have to shout about, Brother Jack? Is your name in the book? Huh? What does the Bible say? Shout, because your name is in the book.
Amen.
That's enough to shout about right there. So we got onto the hotel, and we had all those cases of Bible. We was there when we told Sergey we was going to be there, gave him the date, told him the hotel, and boy, we waited all day long. Sergey's not showing, and we don't know whether he got our letter or nothing. We didn't know whether he was supposed to know. And what we're going to do here with all those cases of Bible, no contact, what are we going to do? And about midnight, Sergey showed up. There was a knock on the door, and there was old Sergey standing at the door. I said, thank you, Jesus, boy. Woo! And the next night, had to go in at night to the underground situation now. Had to go in one at a time. And when you left the place that we was meeting in, which is dark and gloomy and shades pulled and the boards, a lot of windows and everything, you know, where nobody could see. And when you left, only one at a time could leave. One at a time. Boy, I say, we broke up them Bibles, gave those college students a Bible, a big smile come on their face. Good night. I wish you could have witnessed that. Hey, do you realize this is y'all's report? I bet you the owners church around here can even say, even come close to say that you have a missionary that started an underground church in Russia. I guarantee you ain't got a church in 1,000, 2,000, 3,000 miles of here can say we support a missionary that started an underground church in Russia. Hey, this is what you're doing for God. This ain't what Brother Jack's doing. This is your report. This is what the Lighthouse Baptist Church is doing. Whew. And from there, there's five churches today in the Ukraine, which is probably scattered all over from all that bombing and mess over there now, but five churches over there now as a result of that underground church that you started. And you told about Jesus. And there's five more is there winning people to Jesus. See, the way that radio ministry works, if I can reach one person on the radio, one, like I reached Sergey, by the time I got there, he had already won 20 to the Lord. Whew. Then if that 20 wins 20 to the Lord, and if that 20 wins 20 to the Lord, you're spreading the gospel. Hey, y'all are spreading the gospel all over Russia. Hey, do you realize this is your report? This is what Brother Jack's doing for God. This is what you guys are doing for the Lord. And while I was there, Brother Sergey, after he got saved, he didn't know what to do. But there's some registered churches in Russia. Anybody ever heard of a registered church? Well, they have some registered churches. So he just went to one of them, you know, to see what was going on and what actually was going on. You don't talk about Jesus. You don't talk about salvation. You don't talk about coming to the altar and getting saved. You don't talk about a changed life. You don't talk about following Jesus. You just give a little bit of church history. That's all you can do. And there's a KBG agent in every service governing and monitoring what you say. That's all you can say. But Sergey took me and introduced me to the pastor of this registered church. They wanted me to meet him. So I did. And I met him, and he asked me to preach the coming Sunday morning. I said, you want me to preach? He said, yeah, I want you to preach Sunday morning. I said, okay, I can do that. And Jack Jr. was my interpreter that I brought with me from the States. He was Jack Parker's son. He had just gotten out of the Army. He worked for the Army Intelligence as a Russian interpreter. And he was my interpreter. And he said, well, Brother Jack, what do you want me to say? I said, you just say just what I say. That's all I want you to do. You just stand there. And if they come up and lock us up, you just say, well, I'm just saying what he said. That's all you got to say. I was just saying what he told me to say. But he did. And I preached. There was over 1,000 people in that church that Sunday morning. There was 500 downstairs of adults. Women sitting on one side and men sitting on the other side. In the balcony, there's another 500 or more young people sitting in the balcony. And I just preached that Sunday morning a simple salvation message about Christ and gave an invitation, and at least over 20 were saved that Sunday morning. Hey, guess what? That's what y'all are doing. Y'all got to preach in a registered church. Y'all gave an opportunity for over 1,000 people to come to Christ. Y'all are responsible for at least over 20 coming to know Jesus as their Savior. And I don't know how many will come to know Jesus as the Savior through their testimonies. Whew. Now, did y'all know in a registered church back in those days, I only know of two preachers that preach in a registered church. And I saw one on television preaching in that registered church, and it was Billy Graham. He got the opportunity. And the other one was Jack Meeks. How do you think I got there? Through churches like this that was praying and sending. That's how I got there. You know how those 1,000 people got to hear about Jesus that Sunday morning, and I come back on Sunday night, and they asked me to come back again one night during the week? You know how they got to hear the Word of God? Because this is what you're doing for the Lord. You think I could just go down to American Airlines and say, hey, I'm getting on this plane today going to Russia? You can like it or lump it. No, but you got to pay that. You got to pay that money to get there. You got to buy a plane ticket, you know that? And when you get there, you got to get a hotel somewhere to stay at when you get there. Huh? Listen, the sender says, how shall they hear except they be sent? The sender is just as important as the goer. This church probably is the only church that I can think of in 1,000 miles from here that supports a missionary that's preached in a registered church in the Soviet Union. You're the only one. It's not what I'm doing. It's what you're doing for the Lord. Every Sunday morning when I preach in Israel, you know, it's pretty expensive to preach on the radio over there. And did you also know that I'm one of the first preachers that preached on the air in Israel? It was closed to the gospel forever, I guess. And somehow this guy talked the British, I mean Israeli government into putting a radio station in Israel to reach all the visitors from America that come there. That's how he got it on the air. And I was one of the first preachers that was on the air when that radio station opened up to preach on the air the very first time ever. Do you know you support a missionary that was one of the first missionaries that went on the radio and preached the gospel to Israel? This is what you're doing. Hey, it's what you're doing. It's not what Brother Jack's doing. I went to the Philippines. As I talked to, you know, Brother June got that military ministry. Also that same national pastor, Brother June, He told me one day in one of my other visits, Brother Jack said, I come from a village way up in the jungles, up in the mountains of the Philippines, one of the islands. He said, I want to go back so bad and tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ where I come from. He said, Brother Jack, but us, they're infiltrated with cannibals. How about that? I said, cannibals? And you want to go back up there? And I looked at Brother June. And man, he looked like a pretty good hamburger, brother. I'll tell you that right now. He looked like a good hamburger. He said, yeah, Brother Jack, I want to go back there and tell him. He said, but I don't have the gas money to get up there every month. I said, brother, by the grace of God, you got it now, go. And now for about 6 or 7 years, he's been going to that village way up into the jungles where those cannibals are and telling them about Jesus. Amen. He hadn't given me any testimony. Anybody's been saved yet, but thank God he comes back every month. Amen. He ain't in the soup pot. We thank the Lord for that. Then he come to me one day and he wanted to start another ministry, a military ministry and a prison ministry. I said, Brother Joe, Brother June, brother, he reminds me of the Apostle Paul. Busy, busy, busy. He said, I want to start I want to go to these prisons, Brother Jack, and tell them about Christ, but I don't have the gas money, you know. So I said, brother, you got it now. So now Brother June goes to the prisons every month. Or every week, wherever he goes, and tell those prisons. Boy, did y'all know y'all are winning people in the military in the Philippines? You guys are winning people wherever Brother June goes, the cannibals. Y'all may reach a cannibal for the Lord. Wouldn't that be something? Huh? He'd write me a letter and tell me when those cannibals got saved. Whew. Hey, this is your report. Say what Brother Jack's doing. This is what the Lighthouse Baptist Church is doing. I cannot do what I do unless I had folks like you praying and sending. Hey, the Bible says, how shall they go except they be sent? Whew. This is y'all's report, brother. I was sitting at a restaurant with Brother Renee, another national pastor in the Philippines. And we was watching these street kids, and they were digging in their garbage cans and picking up stuff on the street that people threw out and eating it. I said, good night, Brother Renee, what's going on here? And then while I was sitting at the table eating a hamburger and took a bite of it, one of these kids come up to me and asked me, was I through with my hamburger? And guess what? I was through with it. I told Brother Renee, I said, we're fixing to do something. We're going to start a Feed the Street Kids ministry. He said, well, Brother Jack, I have a mission church. I have a place. I have an old car where I can pick them up. I said, okay, here's the deal. You get your old car, your mission, you go out every week and pick them up, and we're going to buy the food. Do y'all know that y'all bought lots of food for lots of kids in the Philippines? Did you know lots of them have been gloriously born into the family of God? Boy, listen, it's a good thing to get somebody young, but to get somebody young saved that can spend their whole life serving the Lord, huh? Goodness, good brother, when you can get one born into the great family of the Lord. But to get somebody young, they got their whole life to give to lay out for the Lord. Hey, you know what y'all doing? Y'all winning a lot of street kids to the Lord in the Philippines. I was in India. Went out with this national pastor. Boy, if you've never been to India, I've been to Mexico, I've been to Africa, I've been to South America, many other places where poverty is bad. But India is worse than all of them put together. I've seen a man die right in front of my face on the street, just fall dead, talking to the guy. And he took me out to a little place, and there was some few poles sticking up. He said, Brother Jack, we're trying to build an orphanage to get some of these kids off the street and give them a home and give them the gospel. Would you pray about helping us? We've been helping him ever since. Did you know y'all are supporting, y'all are helping orphans in India to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ? Did the same thing in Guyana, South America. A young a national pastor took me out to a place, told me the same story. Said these young kids are walking the streets, don't have nowhere to go, Brother Jack, no homes, no parents, no nothing. And we're trying to put this building up here to get them off the streets, give them some food, and give them the gospel. Said, would you pray about it? We prayed about it, and we'll help. Said, you guys are helping them too, you know that? Y'all are helping an orphanage in Uganda, South America, one in India, to win people to Jesus Christ. This ain't my report this morning. This is your report. This is what you are doing for the Lord Jesus Christ. And boy, I could go on and on and on and on of what the Lord has done for us. And in the places that we have been, the places that we preached, the crusades, and the many people that's been saved on the radio, many people that's been had a chance, millions, I'm talking about millions now, and thousands has been gloriously saved. Hey, this is your report. This is what you are doing for the Lord. This is not what Brother Jack's doing for the Lord. Brother Jack would have to sit home in an easy chair, doing nothing, I guess, if I didn't have churches like this that would have a burden to send a missionary to the field and pray for him. Those people would be out there that's got a chance to hear. Those people out there that's been gloriously saved, all be half of them be in hell now. If it hadn't been for you guys right here at the Lighthouse Baptist Church, this is your report. This is what you are doing for God. Not what Brother Jack's doing. But I'm just the one that, that's all of honor to be your representative, one of your ambassadors. Good night. Just to go tell. What did Romans say? How shall they hear except they be sent? How can those all those billions of people and those thousands of people and all those mission churches and all those other different ministries that we got around the world, how in the world could that be unless somebody didn't help? Unless somebody didn't send. So I know Brother Jack, the missionary, he gets all the glory. He gets to do all that traveling around the world, you know. He gets to see all those places, you know. He gets to do all this thing. He gets all the glory. Well, I'll tell you what. Everybody look right up here. See this Bible right here? Would anybody like to come up here and take my place? And I'll send you. Whichever they are, brother, we're sharing equally. We're sharing equally. This is the Lighthouse Baptist Church's report. This is not my report this morning. That's what y'all have allowed me to do. Through y'all's praying, through y'all's giving. And they're not going to hear unless they be sent, if the Bible's correct. And I want you to know that I appreciate it. I thank you so much for the many years. And I'm going to tell you something else. All those people's had a chance to hear, and all those thousands that's been gloriously saved, and all those churches that's been established, they really thank you, buddy. When you get to heaven, you're going to run into one of them somewhere in the world, in India, somewhere in Europe, South America, down in the West Indies, Iceland. Somebody's going to come up to you somewhere and say, hey, aren't you a member of the Lighthouse Baptist Church? And you can say, yeah. So I just want to thank you for helping that missionary go on the radio and tell me about Jesus Christ. Buddy, they're thankful. Whew. And I'm thankful. And they're thankful. And God's grateful. And you really get your reward when you get to heaven.
Amen.
Amen. Brother Gerald, come up here.